It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being locked in all over North America. Happy Thursday to you. It's almost the weekend. Damn it, it might be the start of the weekend for you. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer, Liam, holding it down in New York City. The Western Conference Finals game number 2 is underway in Oklahoma City. And right now, this minute, this second, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they lead the Minnesota Timberwolves 21-13. It's about 4 minutes to go here in the first quarter. And damn it, I just feel like the Timberwolves are going to be chasing them behind them every single game. I'll give you a little bit more details momentarily. Hey, as we continue on with the show, we've already discussed a lot. Hey, thank you to Mike DeFabo for joining us in the last break. Mike DeFabo covers the Steelers for The Athletic. Their owner, Rooney III, he basically said, yeah, we're waiting a little bit longer for Aaron Rodgers. What a shock, right? Hey, thank you to Christian Winfield for joining us from the New York Daily News. We talked about the New York Knicks. Yeah, the team that tried to play basketball at the end of the game last night. Or maybe they didn't try to play basketball. I think that's pretty much the problem. The Pacers took them to the woodshed at the end of the game. You got Nesmith dropping 20 points in 5 minutes. What? He ain't Michael Jordan. What the hell are you doing out there, New York Knicks? What a terrible bunch of guys. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just picked up his MVP award. And man, as we continue on with this show, we have more to get into. How about this? At the end of the show, of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We got Charles Barkley putting some words about Mr. Halliburton. Not Tyrese, his dad, John. So we got more to do as the show continues on. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that. Here's the phone number. You ready? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist on the internet. I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. What a day. You know, one of the things that I'm most happiest about for today is that we actually had a change in the college football playoff. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on right now. We got the NBA playoffs going on right now. The way the NFL dominates the schedule all year long, you would think the NFL has playoffs going on. But no. The college football playoff, they decided to come out and they gave us some news about their playoff into the future. No, they're not expanding into 16 games, not yet. But they're adjusting how things are seeded. I want you to take a listen to this clip from earlier today, courtesy of CBS Sports HQ.
We've got breaking news into CBS Sports HQ, where the College Football Playoff Committee has approved a major change for the 2025 season. And this has been confirmed by our very own Brandon Marcello. So this year's playoffs will feature straight seeding, eliminating first round byes for the four highest ranked conference champions. So instead, the top four seeds, as determined by the committee, will receive first round byes, regardless of their affiliation with leagues and conferences. So the change was unanimously approved by the 10 FBS conferences, along with Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, it's about time, huh? Well, I can't say it's about time. I mean, we've only had 1 year of the 12-team playoff. But knowing that Arizona State got a bye and Boise State got a bye because of conference championships when there were better teams out there than them, like Penn State, certainly not fair. Not fair at all. And so we'll see that adjustment taking place this upcoming winter, come January. So that'll be nice. College football getting something right for a change. Thank you very much. I just told you the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're in action right now against Minnesota. They lead 23-18 in game 2. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he was awarded his NBA MVP award prior to the game tipping off. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, prior to all of that yesterday, you know, we all heard what he had to say on TNT. He was real cool, sitting with his teammates. Teammates are wearing shirts with his face on it. He's thanking them. He's buying all of them Rolexes for being great teammates and allowing him to win the MVP. And then when he actually had his press conference, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he kind of broke down in tears thinking about his wife. Listen to this.
Haley Summers, thank you for everything you are for me, for our son, Aries. You were the first person to show me what love really meant. What love really meant, what sacrifice really meant. And I can't wait to spend the rest of this journey called life with you. So thank you for everything. I wouldn't be the man I am. I wouldn't be the player I am. I wouldn't be the father I am without you. And thank you for that. So thank you, everybody.
Oh, man, I love love. That's great. That's good for him. And right now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, of course, leading the way for Oklahoma City. He has 8 points here in the first quarter. The first quarter is not done. He has 8 points, 2 free throws. He is 3 of 4 from the field. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he is loving taking on these Minnesota Timberwolves. The Thunder lead 23-18. You know, sticking on the love front, because there's so much negativity in the world. Last night, unfortunately, we had to share news of the passing of Jim Mercy, 65 years old, owner of the Indianapolis Colts. Well, today we started to hear some amazing stories that show that this guy had a big heart. He was a loving kind of guy. And how about this man? He's a loving kind of guy, too. His name is Tony Dungy. He coached the Indianapolis Colts from 2002 to 2008. He won a Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears. And he was asked on Pro Football Talk, he was asked about a story that we could learn a little bit more with Jim Irsay. And I think Tony Dungy, he gave us the perfect story that kind of highlights what type of human being, just what type of guy he was. Listen.
But I got there in 2002. My dad was getting up in age, and my dad would come to all the home games. And Mr. Irsay saw him at a couple of away games. So he said, does your dad go to every game? And I said, well, he tries to go the ones that are close that he can get to. So if he wants to go to every game next year, tell him to just come to Indianapolis and fly with us. And 2003, he flew my dad on the team plane to every single away game. And my dad passed away at the end of the year. And my greatest memory was sitting with him and being with him at away games just because Jim Irsay, that's who he was.
Man, those are the type of stories you can't make up. And there's no reason for that story to be public. But when you hear so many nasty things about owners and ownership groups and what they do and what they don't do and some of the scandals, Dan Snyder's of the world, the Donald Sterling's of the world, you know, I'm not putting Bob Nutting in the same category of being a complete human piece of trash like some of the guys that I just mentioned there. But we got some owners that either they don't spend money or they are human trash. And some owners just don't know when to get the hell up on out the way. It's crazy. All the best to Jim Irsay's family in this difficult, tough time. And speaking of families, last night, I'm just still reminded about Halliburton. And I watched that game, which was just difficult to look at the end if you're a Knicks fan. Charles Barkley said some interesting words about Tyrese Halliburton's dad. You might recall. Tyrese Halliburton's dad, I don't want to say he's been banned because you got to be careful with the language. He's not attending Thunder games indefinitely. Because this man ran out onto the court and basically taunted Giannis Antetokounmpo when the Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton eliminated the Bucks. His son hit the game-winning shot, and his son, his dad, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, John Halliburton, basically went on the court and waved a towel in front of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, before I get to what Charles Barkley had to say about this last night, listen to what Giannis Antetokounmpo had to say about it.
At the moment, I thought he was fine, but then I realized he was Tyrese's son, which I love. Tyrese, I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This is the F we do. I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
Yeah, the Pacers thought it was disrespectful, so they basically told him, don't show up to any more playoff games, okay? Tyrese Halliburton thought it was disrespectful. He said he spoke to his dad and his dad knew what he did was wrong. His dad, John Halliburton. I mean, why anybody would follow him on social media, I have no idea. He's there somehow. He said what he did was wrong and that he apologized and he won't do it again. And then I guess somebody asked him for a television interview. And then he said this ridiculousness after everybody said what he did was wrong. This is him on TMJ4 News in Indy.
It might have seemed like I was looking at him, but I really wasn't. I was looking through him. That's right. How I was in the moment. I know it looked like we were looking, like I was staring him down, you know, but it wasn't like that. It was in the moment as if I was looking right through him. And yes, I had the banner in my hand going, and I was yelling, yay, yay, yay. Giannis never said anything to me. I never said anything to Giannis.
Oh, my God. Like, we, does this man know that we got evidence in 4K and video cameras and HD? That was bad. I think after that moment, I think that's when the Pacers, because it did happen after he said that, by the way. The Indiana Pacers basically said, oh, yeah, he ain't coming to no more games. They didn't say he was punished. They didn't say he was banned. They didn't say they were giving him the boot. They just said, hey, you know, in light of recent events, we've all agreed mutually that he's, you know, he's just going to watch from wherever the hell he is. He won't be attending games. Done. As simple as that. That's the nicest way you could boot the star player's dad without alienating the star player. And John Halliburton? That sounds like something a 15-year-old would say. I can't even say a 3-year-old. I wasn't, or a 5-year-old. I wasn't looking at him. I was looking through him. He sounded ridiculous. What the hell you apologize for then to double down and now tell a lie? The man walked onto the court. Passed by Giannis, turned around directly to stand in front of him, and he's staring through him. For what? The man is 6'11", almost 7 feet tall. You just looking through him as you wave that towel in front of him? What a load of crap. And so last night, I guess John Halliburton got a little bit of a, I guess he feels vindicated. He got a support. He got some support. And Charles Barkley, because Halliburton helping him, well, the Indiana Pacers win last night in Madison Square Garden. And Charles Barkley feels that, you know, I think his dad has paid the price. Let him enjoy his son. Let him go to Madison Square Garden. Let him go to, the Pacers home court. Let him enjoy this. This is what Charles Barkley had to say last night on TNT.
It's time to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building.
Yes, it is.
Adam, I'm asking you, hey, my man paid his dues. He did something really, really stupid, but he's been punished. And I'm asking you and the Indiana Pacers to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for Game 3 and 4. I mean, he paid his dues. It shouldn't be indefinite. He's been punished enough. He would never do anything that stupid again. So, Adam, you know how much I love you. And my man Kevin Pritchett, y'all let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for Game 3. Oh, because let me tell you something. He won't come up to New York like that.
No, you don't want him. You don't want him in this building. No, but let back we, at home,
I'm going to tell you something. He come up to New York doing that crazy stuff. He won't make it back to Indy.
Oh, yeah. They were throwing trash at a firefighter. Come on now. What are they going to do to Tyrese Halliburton's dad? Like, yeah, somebody would throw something. Didn't they spit on Trae Young? Somebody spat on him a couple years ago. Didn't somebody do that?
I think so, yeah, or at least attempted to.
Yeah, it's like they spit towards his feet. I don't know. And Knicks fans are different. I don't know. Maybe you got to be a Knicks fan under 25, under 20 to be a complete nut. I think you stick with the band. I don't know. You think they should let him back?
It's funny because he was like, oh, I wasn't saying anything to him. And then the next sentence was, oh, all I said was, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why are you going to lie? He apologized. Everybody said he was, even his son said what he did was wrong. You know, this is what Halliburton had to say to WOIO-TV about his dad's ban.
But I understand the decision made by, you know, our organization and the league. I've spoken on it many times, you know, that my father was in the wrong. But at the end of the day, it's my dad. So I'm not going to ridicule him by any means. Still have a lot of love for him. I love him dearly. He's going to sit at home and watch the game, and he'll be just fine. And, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but that's my dad. And so I love him for who he is, and so does everybody who knows him.
Are you ridiculing somebody if you tell the truth, though, Liam?
No, you're actually being a better family member, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're not ridiculing him. What is there to ridicule? He did a dumb thing. He made a mistake. He owned up to it. And then he changed his mind. And then he's sitting on TV doing an interview about it. Like, that just, did he really learn his lesson?
Probably.
Go ahead, Liam.
No, probably not. Do you think he went and spoke to Tyrese and said, hey, by the way, I'm going to do this interview on TV?
Of course not. Maybe Tyrese was just a shock, because wouldn't Tyrese go, dad, what are you doing? Like, it's done. It's over. I said what you did was wrong. You apologized, and now you're going to go on TV and do an interview? I highly doubt it. You know how this stuff works. One of the guys from TV probably reached out to him directly. You know, his dad knows how to work, you know, I don't know, Zoom by himself, and he did the interview, and Tyrese probably found out about it at the same time. And I'm sure the Pacers called Tyrese Halliburton. The media guy said, hey, I got to talk to your dad. What is this? You said you were wrong. Giannis said what he did was wrong. He said what he did was wrong. Why is he sitting on television doing an interview now, kind of, you know, pouring more gasoline on this? I know the Pacers PR guy was just like, why are you giving me a headache? So it's just beyond nutty. Let him sit at home and watch. You know, maybe if it comes down, if the Pacers go to the finals and it's the last game, maybe you let that be one of the storylines. You know, maybe he's back in the building and you leave it there. But I think if you let him back right now, like, think, I'm not putting this in no Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese category. But, you know, we have stories that just exist away from the field. So, for instance, when Taylor Swift shows up to a Chiefs game, and I'm not even putting it up to that magnitude, but for where we're at right now in the NBA calendar, if the next thing we got to think about is the return of John Halliburton, is he courtside? I highly doubt it. Is he sitting in a suite? How many shots of his dad in a suite are we going to get? Are we going to get a video package before the damn game? Do we got to get video of him walking in? Is he going to be hanging out with fans outside of the arena? Like, we do not need this. If the Pacers somehow, some way, make it to a game-clinching game, I guess I could say, in the NBA Finals, then let John Halliburton show up. Outside of that, he can do what everybody else does. Just watch at home. Go to the bar. Call it a day. Your son or not, who cares? Maybe I'm harsh. I don't think so. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And this portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai, the all-new, all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 9. Space up for up to 7. Range for miles. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll talk some quarterbacks. We'll talk some performance-enhancing what? Drugs? Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Hey, how about this? They lead the Thunder 37-36. 8 minutes to go in the first half. Anthony Edwards, 4 of 10 from the field with 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Dante DiVincenzo, big off the bench with 8 points. Meanwhile, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he has 8 points. Chet Holmgren has 11 points. And Jalen Williams has 10. Nobody off the Thunder bench has scored a point. We'll keep you up to date as the show continues on. I do want to mention this. You know, last hour, as we had a chat with Mike DeFabo from the Pittsburgh Steelers, he covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for The Athletic. We talked about the waiting game that is still Aaron Rodgers. You have the owner, Art Rooney III, pretty much saying that we will wait a little while longer. And then I'm like, hey, well, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't, for whatever reason, show up and become the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, do they not just go out there and add Kirk Cousins? Like, they got a trade. They got to get him from right here in Atlanta. And you think about all the spots that have been filled and occupied. Kirk Cousins was openly flirting with everybody out in Cleveland. That ain't happening. Now Kirk Cousins is, well, he's a man without a team. He's a backup to Michael Penix Jr. And Ian Rappaport, just a couple of weeks ago, he was on the NFL Network, and he pretty much said, yeah, Kirk Cousins is stuck in Atlanta until somebody gets hurt or somebody doesn't show up to work.
As of right now, it certainly appears Kirk Cousins is set to be their backup quarterback for the 2025 season. Obviously, if any team needs a quarterback with starting experience, that would also, by the way, include the Pittsburgh Steelers if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there. Cousins would be the first call, which is why we're going to be talking about Kirk Cousins all the time. This coming preseason, this coming actual season, every time a quarterback gets hurt, the Falcons are going to be like, hello, look at the guy we got. Maybe could get a potential premium draft pick for a guy who is now their backup.
It's kind of crazy to think about. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to end up on a team where the quarterback goes down. Like, he is not going to finish the entire year in Atlanta. Damn it, he may not make it through training camp. The Atlanta Falcons are just absolutely hilarious. I mean, just based on what they did last year and getting Penix in and then paying Kirk Cousins all this money and then ultimately having to eat the money, it's just, it's a very Falcons thing to do. Meanwhile, speaking of the Steelers, Matt LaFleur, we heard this yesterday. Yeah, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He was on Up and Adams. And Kay Adams basically asked him, you sit around at these coaches' meetings. You see Mike Tomlin. You have worked with Aaron Rodgers. You know Aaron Rodgers. You know both of these guys. Has Mike Tomlin reached out to you about Rodgers? And what do you think he's going to do? Listen to what Matt LaFleur had to say.
He asked you about Aaron?
No, not one, not nothing. And neither has Arthur. So Arthur Smith, their OC, I haven't heard from either of those guys in regards to him. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. I'm sure they're confident in what they're doing. And I would fully expect him to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, I think we all are, right? He can't leave him hanging. I just ultimately think that there's two things here. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go out like a sucker, a loser with the New York Jets. He doesn't want to end his career like that. I don't think he would. I think he still has something left in the tank. I think he feels he still has something left in the tank. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. He doesn't want to go out like that. Who he's going to throw the ball to besides Pickens? Ooh, we had that discussion with Mike DeFabo, and that part could get ugly in Pittsburgh. So maybe that's a reason he does not show up. We'll see what happens. Is maybe Aaron Rodgers decides to... what he wants to do over the holiday. You never know with that guy. I know he'll have discussions with his inner circle, and then we'll go ahead and figure things out. Someone that you don't have to worry about. How about this? It was just yesterday that Brock Purdy spoke. Yeah, Brock Purdy. We know this guy's now getting $53 million a year after sleeping on his friend's couch. Well, offensive lineman's couch, roommate's couch. And now he can buy the whole damn facility. Brock Purdy, he talked about being a member of the San Francisco 49ers. And then also, you don't got to worry about him going anywhere. He has a no trade clause. This is what he had to say about it.
I think it's important, yes, but also it's something that, you know, my agent and I discussed with, you know, what other quarterbacks have around the league and stuff in their contract. But, you know, for me, was it going to be a determining factor in signing it or not? No. Like, we're very grateful that we had it in there, but at the end of the day, like I said, everything else that the contract entails, we're extremely excited about. So we're just grateful how it turned out.
Man, who would want to trade for Brock Purdy making $265 million? Nobody. He'd have to turn into God for somebody to want to trade for him. No siree. This man, at one point in time, his rookie deal, 4 years, about $3.5 million. Yes, all 4 years, he's making less than $4 million total. He's going to be making $265 million over the next five. That's what the hell you call a come up. Congratulations to Brock Purdy. Hopefully the offense can come up given all the injuries and departures that they had from last season. I mean, just on the offense, Deebo Samuel, now in Washington, Brandon Ayuk ripped his leg up last year. Christian McCaffrey was dealing with calf and issues and Achilles. If there was a leg issue, Christian McCaffrey was dealing with it. So let's see what Brock Purdy does now that there are expectations on him to go out there and get the bread. People are going to look at him to return to the guy who was fourth in MVP voting in 2023. Well, the only way you do that is by winning and having solid weapons around you. Let's see what a guy like Ricky Pearsall can do in his second complete and second full season. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4IS. What the heck is this? Well, the Thunder leading the Wolves right now. But what the heck is this? This is very interesting. Liam, I'm just, you know, I just like to look through the news throughout the course of the show, like to multitask.
Of course.
Is this true? There is a drug Olympics?
Oh, the enhanced games you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm actually reading through this right now. The enhanced Olympics is these are athletes who legitimate. This is like if they let baseball players do drugs, right? Am I understanding this correctly?
Correct. They could do PEDs, they could do whatever they want.
So this is like that. Remember that video game NFL Blitz where the guys were just big and strong and they were fighting on purpose?
Might have some roid rage at the swimming pool. You never know.
Right. Now, in what world is this? So we just throwing ethics out the... I thought the point of a physical activity is to see what a human can do in his own human conditioned body, not aided by drugs. I thought that was the point of sports. Like why do... This is like if we gave American gladiators crack and then said, just go out there and let me see what you could do. It's a little too much.
You need extremes in the world. You've got sports, and then you've got enhanced sports.
Oh, come on now. This is crazy. Well, hey, I think you found a trailer, right? Did you find a trailer for this?
There was the enhanced Olympics, or the enhanced games. They put out their own documentary about one of their swimmers breaking a world record. And then also, too, there's another channel, 7 News Spotlight, was doing a documentary about it.
Marco Belletti, do you hear this crap? You hear this?
I didn't know this. I'm all in.
Oh, my God.
And well, I want to go further. I want to see, like, you know, on PCP, I want acid. Oh, I want all kinds of... Let's just, you know, we're going to do this for our entertainment. The hell with it. Put them in a pit. Let's get all kinds of crazy stuff.
Let's listen to this. So the guy who did this, Aaron D'Souza, is from Australia. And they're looking to have this, I'm calling it the Drug Olympics. They're looking to do this, what, next year, Liam, I think? Is it next year?
Yeah, 2026 in Vegas. Which, where else?
Of course it's in Vegas. Let's listen to this spotlight. I guess this is 7 News in Australia. Listen to this.
It's the Olympics on steroids.
Do you think with the performance-enhancing drugs, you can beat that world record?
I can swim faster than any man in history.
On 7 News Spotlight, athletes encouraged to take drugs, to be stronger, to go faster.
A whole new world of sports.
Meet the Olympians putting their bodies on the line.
How much does this help performance?
To take the competition to a whole new level.
I would definitely buy a ticket to watch it.
Could this controversial competition replace the Olympics?
It's fundamentally wrong.
Oh my goodness. It is. It is fundamentally. I don't, you know what? Let them do it. I just think it's terrible.
I want separate things. I want Olympics on crack. I want Olympics on PCP. I want all different things. You can't take all things. You can only take one. And everybody has like different stuff, and I just want to watch it. You can't tell me curling on acid wouldn't be better. I just find that difficult to believe.
I'm just thinking about regular sports. Like if we had regular sports and everybody was juicing up, yeah, sure, we'd have some records broken. It'd be great. But then we'd have the athletes breaking down. Like, the human body ain't built for this stuff, man.
Yeah, they don't care about the human body. Obviously. Okay. So if they don't, then I don't. I want Luge on crack. I want to see it.
Luge on crack.
Why the hell not?
If you start the sport, I'll watch it. You start it first, okay?
I don't know if they're putting my fat ass in a luge. But I think I can get other people to do this. Why not?
Okay. I'm just saying, you should be the one to help organize it. Come on, this is due time.
JR, come on. You can't tell me that there's not an audience for this.
Yeah, it's called Major League Baseball. We saw it 25 years ago, okay?
The most exciting summer ever.
Yeah, I saw Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa going after, and then I saw Barry Bonds cracked out. Come on, I saw this. Oh, not cracked out. Sorry, it wasn't cracked.
Well, but that's the thing. But that's where we're going. This is not just, I don't want just PEDs, because that's not enough for me. I want to go into, if you're going to already have them taking drugs that are going to be bad for their bodies and eventually they're going to break down and this is going to be something that they're going to deal with later in life, then the hell with it. Let's cross that line. We've already blurred it. Crack, PCP, all kinds of different drugs. I want to see everybody on all different things. You got to stay to one drug and see what they do. Okay. That's what I want to do.
Can they do all-encompassing drug?
No. Because then you might as well just have the one. Then it's just one Olympics. I want to separate. I want to have all kinds of different things. If you're going to do all-encompassing, then you could be on whatever you want. And then it's just one Olympics.
Have everybody taking everything, and just one of the leagues?
Yeah, I want to separate this.
It sounds like death. I don't know about that.
That's the point, though, JR. They obviously don't care about these athletes at all. The whole point of not doing any of the PEDs or any of the steroids, the whole thing was because it's not good for your body. Am I wrong?
It looks like part of this league is financed by one of Trump's sons. So I don't know. It's in Vegas. They're making money. The drugged out Olympics.
You know, you can't tell me that there's not people that are on drugs right now that wouldn't be willing. You know what? You're going to give me money and you're going to have me train and you're going to put me in the pool. I'll sign up.
There's a difference between drug Olympics and crack Olympics. Okay, Mark.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it would be that difficult to find some volunteers.
Well, we can go to Times Square or Hollywood Boulevard, okay?
I'm in.
All right.
You can go underground at Vegas. They have people living underneath the strip.
You're then right.
You could have them running up the sphere.
And zombie Olympics is next. What a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I never thought that I'd research such a thing, but I think I am. I'm going to look up and deeper into the drug Olympics. But right now, it's time for a news flash before we roll out. Here he is, Marco Belletti. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, well, how about this? We haven't even gotten to halftime yet. We're 3 seconds away from halftime. Western Conference Finals, the Thunder have retaken a lead. 57-50. Before we head into the half, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 17 points. Anthony Edwards with 16. This is the way you would expect it. Rudy Gobert, 0 points, 6 rebounds, and a block. Okay, there you have it. Let's see if Minnesota can catch up. Last game, by the time they got to the second half, they were starting to get the hell beat out of them. So we'll see if the Oklahoma City Thunder will take a 2-0 series lead, and I fully expect it. One thing that you don't have to expect or wait for right now, this minute, this second, is something that we do at the end of every show, and that's talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Today, as it's been all day, is May 22nd. The year is 2025. But if we go back in time to May 22nd, 1988, we had a duel. We had a classic. We had a back and forth between Dominique Wilkins of the Atlanta Hawks and Larry Bird of the Boston Celtics. This took place in the Eastern semifinals. This was a game 7. The Celtics ended up winning 118-116. Dominique Wilkins had 47 points. Larry Bird had 34. He dropped 20 in the fourth quarter. It was back and forth and back and forth. I want you to take a listen to this classic, courtesy of the NBA.
Attempting to break free, stays with it, and the foul is called. The continuation. Once we're up by 7, Dominique hits a 3. Lead to Bird off the fake. Improves his position, and the Celtics. Wilkins ties it for Bird. Cuts free, left hands it for the field goal.
Type of game of who's going to blink first.
Wilkins responds, and he is tied
between the two of them.
It's Bird's turn, and the Celtics have the lead, and then gets it back. And Dominique high off the glass. Three comes up with a shot, and the Celtics lead it. team. To Bird, and Wilkins is there. Bird comes free. Bird for the layup. Miss, and that's it.
Man, it sucked for Dominique. Man, Dominique got the statue out here. Dominique never had a chance to get to the big one or win the big one. And shout outs to Dominique Wilkins. Also, just one of the nicest guys that you will ever meet. And treats everybody nice. He's just always walking around showing love to everybody. Shout outs to Dominique Wilkins. By the way, that year, well, the Lakers beat the Pistons in the finals. 88? Yeah, the Pistons ended up beating the Celtics. How about that? Hey, May 22nd, 1994, we found out we had a new basketball team in Toronto, Canada. We got a lot of details. Yeah, listen to this.
This is the moment you've been waiting for. It's certainly the moment we all have been waiting for, too. The official naming of your team, one that is ready to join the animal kingdom of teams in the NBA. And here it is, the newest, freshest, and hungriest look in the NBA. Ladies and gentlemen, the Raptors are born.
Yeah, at the time sounded miserable, right? Toronto Raptors. It's because of Jurassic Park. It really was. Everybody was high off of that Steven Spielberg movie, and it's just like, oh, let's just name them the Raptors. That was a great movie, by the way. That movie was ahead of its time. Jurassic Park, we never saw anything like that. Damn it, that was 35 years ago now at this point. Man, I'm going on almost 40. Sheesh. Damn. Oh, my God. Let's move on to something else before I feel old. Hey, May 22nd, 1998. This is what took place in sport. My goodness. Talking about a drug Olympics. Mark McGwire hit a home run out of Dodger Stadium. Okay. This was actually his second home run of the night. Oh, man. Yeah, he hit a ball in the eighth inning. St. Louis went out there and lost the game to the Dodgers 10-7. Take a listen. This is Mark McGwire doing Mark McGwire things.
Struck out 155, and he's done it again. And let's see where that goes. It hit the top of the roof. Oh! Will Vestargill hit two out, and McGwire's ball hit the edge of the roof and came back into the seats. Well, I would say he's got the range now. It took him a while, but he hits two tonight, and what a shot that was. And all of a sudden, it's 9-7. Gee whiz.
Yeah, they ended up counting that one as going out. And so there's only been five guys in Major League Baseball to ever do that, hit a ball out of Dodger Stadium. Fernando Tatis Jr. did it a few years ago. Giancarlo Stanton, Mike Piazza, and then you heard the great Vin Scully mention him. Willie Stargell went out there and did it as well. Two times. Yeah, and those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. Wow, Mark McGwire. Ironic, we were just having a chat about this this drugged out Olympics that they got going on. And we played you one clip. Well, it's going to happen next year in Las Vegas. Why don't they just pick people up off the Las Vegas Strip, give them drugs, people who aren't already on drugs, and just have them swim? There's actually a trailer for this. There's a full trailer for the documentary via they're calling it, what is it, the Enhanced Games, Liam? Is that what it is?
Yes, the Enhanced Games. I guess the Olympics name is taken already. So the Enhanced Games.
Yeah, you stay. Yeah, Olympics will be after them so fast. Let's take a listen to that trailer.
20.91 seconds. That's the world record. It's been the line between possible and impossible, and breaking it will change that line forever.
Our goal is not to break a world record. Our goal is actually to break all the world records.
We're trying to showcase that utilizing performance-enhancing substances in sports is actually safe and leads to elevated unseen performance.
Human potential. What is that potential? Where is the max? Where's the limit?
But where's the limit? Damn it. If you're going to give people drugs, there's no limit. That's doing too much. I'm sorry. Come on. Like, can we just see what humans can naturally do? Can we see how we can naturally push our bodies? We gotta take drugs and put it in a whole different game. Just call it the Freak Show Olympics. The Drug Olympics? I'm surprised that Lance Armstrong isn't leading the charge on this one, or Barry Bonds, or I don't know. Anyway, you stay the heck away from that. And you stay away from drugs over the weekend, too, okay? Unless it's prescribed by a doctor. Listen to me. And just try your best to stay out of trouble over the holiday weekend. Anyway, the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done for today. It's done for this week. I'm going to take myself a little bit of a holiday break. I'll be back on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our guests, Mike DeFabo from The Athletic, coming by to talk some NFL football and Steelers. Thank you so much to Christian Winfield for joining us from the New York Daily News to talk about the New York Knicks and their choke job from last night. Hopefully they do not choke tomorrow. I need a good game. And then right now, we got a good one. Right now, the Thunder lead the Wolves 58-50 at halftime. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 19. And then Anthony Edwards with 16. Hey, Liam, thank you so much for a great show.
Thank you, JR. It was a pleasure.
No doubt about it. The JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. Bart Winkler is coming up next. You can find me online everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. Please be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. JR Sport Brief Show done on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.